In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Prodigal Son. And today's gospel has many levels of meaning. If we read the whole chapter, from chapter 15 from Luke, we see that Jesus was dining with sinners. He was eating with publicans and harlots, and the Pharisees were condemning him and criticizing him. They're saying, this is no righteous rabbi because he's eating with these sinners. And so it's basically in response to this that he gives them this parable of the prodigal son. And the main tone or spirit of this parable, of course, is about repentance, but it's much more than that. For one thing, it recounts the whole of mankind. When it says, not many days after the younger son gathered his things and took his journey into a far country, the Holy Fathers say that this refers to Adam and Eve, who were not in paradise for very long before they were disobedient and fell. And this also recounts the whole fall of man and then the return back to God. But it also recounts the whole cycle of the Old Testament, in which God chooses the Jewish people to have the law and the prophets and to understand the truth about living a godly life. And so in a way, these two sons represent the Jews and the Gentiles. The older son sort of represents the Jews who received the law and the prophets first, and so they were older in a sense in that way. But the younger son is like an image of the Gentiles who wasted their lives in riotous living. And yet the younger son repents and is therefore welcomed back to his father's house, while the older brother is angry and envious that the father didn't make a big feast for him. But besides these, in a sense, historical references, there's also a very personal and spiritual meaning for us. Archbishop John Maximovich says that this parable serves as a warning that we start out at baptism and are faithful, but then we're lured by worldly knowledge and pleasures, and this only leads us further and further away from Christ. He says this is a warning because many do not repent and just remain estranged from God, and their end is the eternal ruin of their soul. And he saw in this parable also an image of modern-day youth. They're very headstrong, they want to go their own way, and they think that they can still live a good life and be faithful to God and believe in God, but they think they can also indulge in sins and pleasures. And it just doesn't work to do both, because as Christ said, we cannot serve God and mammon. And this parable is also an excellent image of spiritual awakening, something that St. Theophan the Recluse talks quite a lot about. This idea of grace-filled awakening or spiritual awakening. The idea of being spiritually asleep, and hence the need to spiritually awaken, is spoken of throughout the scriptures. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, St. Paul exhorts the Christians, "Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night." So here he's talking about, obviously we see many people, and sometimes ourselves, we go through our lives and we sort of forget about our prayer and forget about God and things like this, and we kind of doze off, as it were, spiritually. And so the whole idea is to wake back up. And so the prodigal son began to awaken and came to himself. In other words, he was asleep in this state of darkness and sin, but then he saw his sins as they really were and began to repent, and this led to his spiritual awakening. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and this literally translates as a change and transformation of one's life. And so it's very similar to the word metamorphosis, which we've all studied in science class when we were kids, to describe the transformation of the butterfly, the caterpillar into the butterfly. And so metanoia comes from that same root and essentially describes that process from a spiritual point of view. For example, we heard about Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, a couple of weeks ago, and he cheated, a lot of people out of a lot of money. And so how does he transform that? How does he awaken from that, those bad deeds? He gives the money back with interest. He four times as much as he took from them, and he also gives half his wealth to the poor. So this is a good example of repentance through, in this case, almsgiving. And then last week we had the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, and in that we see an image of repentance and humility through prayer. They go up to the temple to pray, and it's the publican that is justified because he's repentant and humble. And so today in this parable of the prodigal son, we see how his sins led him to deprivation and hunger, which then leads him to repentance and awakening. And so as we prepare for this coming fast of Great Lent, let's use this time wisely to voluntarily deprive ourselves of our favorite foods, you know, through the fasting, which will make room for spiritual transformation. You know, because when we're, you know, I always have this image when our family would get together, my brothers, and we'd have Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody would eat a lot, you know, and of course turkey has, you know, what, tryptophan in it, or makes you sleepy. So pretty soon after dinner, everybody's, you know, just laying there snoozing, you know. And this is really a great image of just being filled, you know. So you're not really in a state of prayer when you're totally stuffed, you know. I mean, you're more in a state of sleepiness. And so when we fast, it's just the opposite. You know, we don't stuff ourselves. We don't eat all the rich, you know, foods that we like. We eat more simply and maybe less quantity. And so we sort of make room, and we sort of are lighter and make room for spiritual transformation. So let us take advantage of the coming fast to seek spiritual nourishment in prayer, spiritual reading, and almsgiving, and repentance, and ask God's help to draw us closer to Him so that we might truly rise up with Christ and celebrate His holy resurrection at Pascha. Glory be to our God.